the National Association of Flight Instructors, its mission and its challenges, through the eyes of its new executive director. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. I'm here today with Jason Blair, who is the executive director of the National Association of Flight Instructors, fairly new in this role, and we thought this would be a great opportunity to find out a little bit more about NAFI and about Jason's background. Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning to you. Pleasure to be here. NAFI is a great organization, and it's really a privilege to be the director of it and get to be a part of everything that we do.
Tell us a little bit about what you know about the startup of NAFI. Apparently, there must have been some contingent within EAA that felt that this would be a needed thing in the community. And how long ago did NAFI start?
Well, I think let's go into the history a little bit further even than EAA. The organization was founded in 1967 by a group of individuals that felt that there was a need to coordinate those providing flight instruction within the industry and help work with standards and work with just getting the instructors together and making sure we're providing a good product in general. In 1995, the organization was affiliated with EAA. EAA and NAFI both found that there was a good benefit with each other and could really work together to help promote instruction along with the overall goal of learning to fly within the industry. And since then, we've had a great partnership and continue to grow that partnership as we move forward in aviation and try and keep everybody learning safely.
All right. How specifically does NAFI set out to achieve that goal? I know that it's, I guess the short form answer would be that NAFI raises the bar higher than the FAA does just to get an instructions certificate. But what exactly is the process and what are the goals of NAFI?
I think a couple of the basic goals of NAFI is one, to provide a forum for its members to talk with each other and to discuss the training standards that we all adhere to by the FAA and also what we want to adhere to. The Master CFI program was really founded to work with CFIs who want to serve a little bit greater role in the industry, both as mentors and as really a way to bring themselves to another level. Most of them serve in a service capacity. They do some education, some writing, and they're very active instructors typically, but that does not change the fact that most of the NAFI members themselves are also very active and very, proactive on making sure training standards are something that we all make sure we adhere to and move forward with. So NAFI is really an organization to keep that dialogue going and to work with the industry and with the FAA along with our own members to make sure that we work together and really provide the best training we can.
Well, now, the program, the Master CFI program within NAFI seems to have, over the years, gained quite a bit of credibility with the FAA. Tell us what the advantages are to a flight instructor to be, A, part of NAFI, and, B, receive the Master Flight Instructor's designation.
Well, the NAFI membership itself has gained notoriety and shows an industry desire to be involved. Most of our members will find that it's not just a good resume piece, but it's also something that becomes recognized by those in the industry. The Master CFI program has definitely become noted by the FAA to the point that it also serves as a renewal of a CFI certificate, and more recently even for the acceptance of a Gold Seal certificate, something that traditionally was based just on performance of flight instruction now is based upon the Master CFI accreditation as well. It's an accreditation that renews every 2 years. The individuals have a series of requirements that they are required to adhere to and submit for review. And upon correct review, they're granted their Master CFI or their Master CFI renewal. And the FAA recognizes that means that they're dedicated to the industry and the training that they provide.
Well, if I understand correctly, the keeping your Master CFI accreditation is more rigorous than what the FAA requires for renewal anyway. So it would seem to make sense that they acknowledge that.
It is a rigorous tool. However, there are other ways people can renew their CFI that may be just as rigorous. This is just one that shows that they have gone through that process. I won't tell you that individuals who have renewed their CFI in other ways are not dedicated individuals, but we can guarantee that those that have come through the Master CFI program are not just doing so out of active instruction, but they're also doing so out of service to the aviation industry and to the training industry in general as well. It is a very rigorous process, but it's by no means unachievable. So we would definitely advise those who have not considered it and who are active within the industry to look at the NAFI program and consider becoming a Master CFI as well.
Talking today with Jason Blair, who is the new executive director of the National Association of Flight Instructors. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and no nice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to this Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack here with Jason Blair, Executive Director of the National Association of Flight Instructors. I have to ask you, Jason, there are roughly 92,000 flight instructors in the United States right now. Does that figure account for those who are active or inactive or level of activity, or is that just the number of people who have at some point earned that designation?
The 92,000 number is kind of a rough number. It accounts for those that have a current CFI certificate. It does not necessarily mean that they are actively instructing. That's really a difficult number to come up with. We do have around 5,500 NAFI members that we know are pretty active instructors if they're a member. As for how many are actually providing instruction, it really varies at this point. We know we've got the 92,000 rough number of people who are certificated, but nobody's really come up with a great number on how many people are actively doing it. And I think the difficulty is there's a wide range of training provision that's out there, anything from the person who does it on the side on the weekends, a couple students here and there and just loves to fly and does it for the fun, to those that are providing day-to-day instruction, whether it be collegiate or corporate environments. So,
yeah, I know there are a lot of Part 61 guys out there, because I've met a bunch of them who, who are maybe retired from other pursuits and just do it, you know, as much as they feel up to each week, and just kind of use it as a part-time, retirement income. And frankly, I think there's a good role for those guys to remain in the system.
I think there's a fantastic role. Many of these are pilots that have vast and lengthy experience. Many times they're in aircraft that younger instructors haven't had a chance to get into, and they can serve a mentorship type of role within the industry. To have them in it is definitely a privilege, and in many cases you'll find that they're not necessarily even doing it for the weekend income, but they're doing it to stay involved in aviation, and it shows their passion and desire to be involved. And sometimes they make the best instructors, because the students that get to work with them are really getting somebody who wants to be in the airplane with them and really enjoys it because they're passionate about it.
I took my initial flight instruction in, Cessna 150, 152, 172s with a Part 141 school, but I finally finished up my certificate with a couple of Part 61 guys flying a Rocket Champs, and I'm glad I had that experience, because I don't know how longer it'll be out there. You're the new guy here. You must have had some ideas when you were trying for this position about where NAFI needed to go and what the challenges in the industry are over the next few years. What are some of those challenges? What do you see looking ahead?
Well, I think one of the natural problems that we have in the industry, and it's more of a challenge than a problem, is we do have a declining population base of pilots right now. And the only way we're going to get more is for instructors to make sure we help people get their licenses. We have seen some rising costs in aviation, whether it be from fuel or just training in general. But I still think the love of aviation is there, and we're still going to have people that are going to sacrifice in their own daily life to be a part of that aviation industry. And one of the ways we as NAFI can help promote that is to promote the different types of options that are out there. While you may have learned in your Cessna 152 or 172, or somebody may be learning in their new Cirrus, there are other ways out there to receive instruction and learn to fly as well. The light sport options that are available are wonderful options, and I would strongly advise people to pursue them in their areas. Also look into some of the other types of things that are out there. Powered parachutes are out there. We've got aerotrikes. We've got a whole bunch of different things that people can learn to fly. And they're good stepping stones. If somebody wants to get involved in aviation, you know, take a look at your local airport. See what's available. Be willing to drive a little bit and check out and see what's there, and understand that there's not just one path to aviation. Anything that goes in the air may be your path to aviation, and may be something that fits your budget, your desire, or your passion for getting into the sky.
You mentioned light sport. One of the complaints I've heard from some people is that they live in areas where none of the flight schools in their area are offering instruction in light sport aircraft or for the sport pilot certificate. Obviously, the introduction of the Skycatcher is going to spread LSA availability through more of the Cessna pilot centers. But aside from that, does NAFI consider that a problem, and are there any strategies to deal with it?
I guess from a NAFI perspective in general, our strategy is to raise awareness of it and to understand that this is not a secondary type of pilot certificate. It's not a lower level. It's a pilot certificate that allows you to fly an aircraft. And there are rigorous requirements that go into that, just as there are with every other type of rating that include the training. Part of it is going to be a time frame. You know, it's a new industry. It is developing. We're seeing more aircraft available in more places, and the best thing I can tell people from a customer standpoint is tell your local FBO or flight school, this is what we want. The more demand they have for it, the more they're going to listen to trying to get that out there for them. As NAFI, our goal is to help promote sport pilot instruction as well as any other instruction that has gone through, and to help people understand that it's a viable option.
Is there a perception maybe on the part of flight schools that they would be making the investment in a new aircraft, because in most cases that's what they'd have to do, is buy a new aircraft to do light sport instruction, to put it on the line, and then be selling a product that has a much lower margin, if any profit at all, compared to what they're used to doing?
I think one of the things that that we're seeing is many flight schools in general, whether it be light sport or other right now, are having to change aircraft anyway. Our fleet is aging, we're doing some aircraft transition, and many flight schools are looking at the acquisition costs, but if they amortize the numbers over time, most of the light sport aircraft are more efficient in fuel costs. Over time, they're going to find a return on that investment. And many of the flight school centers that we've talked to that have sport pilots or light sport aircraft available are finding that those aircraft are booked fully. The demand is there, and many of those that have done that are looking to expand that fleet as it is. So we're finding more efficient aircraft. The aircraft themselves, in many cases, can be very versatile. They can do anything from sport pilot, private pilot, instrument, commercial. They can be set up how people want them. In many of the new aircraft, there's more room in them. They're comfortable, and they're definitely worth considering and looking at the numbers and seeing how the amortization is going to work out for them in their investment.
All right, it's plug time. We're down to our last couple minutes. I know that that these Aerocasts are heard by a lot of CFIs. What would you have to say on behalf of NAFI that you'd like to get out in the community? What kind of news?
On behalf of NAFI, we've got some great benefits. If you're not a member, we'd love to have you become one. Definitely check us out. We have some great sponsorship benefits, discounts with some of our supporters from ASA to Jeppesen to Sporties, which is one of our biggest supporters. Check out our website and look at our supporter list. We've got some great discounts. And watch us in the future. We're coming up with some new plans and new programs, and we're looking forward to a little bit of revitalization and continued growth in NAFI. It's been an organization that has been on the grow for the last 10 years, and we continue to move forward with that. We'd love to have people's membership as a part of it.
All right, the website, for those who do want to look into it, is www.nafinet.org. That's NAFINET.ORG. Jason, thanks very much for taking a few minutes out to talk to our listeners.
Thanks much, and if you haven't seen it, also check out our publication, NAFI Mentor and NAFI eMentor, designed specifically for flight instructors and for flight instructors.
My guest has been Jason Blair, Executive Director of the National Association of Flight Instructors, and you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.